Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Up to day, Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
I'll be reading from Haggai 2:3-9. Who of you who has left, who saw this house in its former glory, how does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and all the desired of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Mm-hmm. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. There is the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen to that.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. We're going to be over in Haggai chapter 2 today. You know how to find that? You got to be quick, because you can go right by it. We're over in Haggai. My grandmother taught me it was Haggai, but I found out this week that's not it, it's Haggai. So I'm going to have to learn that over, and probably through the message I'm going to keep slipping and saying Haggai. But I've been slipping all my life in that regard. Anyway, I'm going to call it Haggai when I think of it. And Ken's read us the passage over in chapter 2. Today, the citizens of this great country of ours are remembering a day in history. When I say the phrase 9/11, many of us think immediately of a day that forever changed our country and changed our lives. And like somebody said this morning, a lot of us remember where we were on that particular day. I can think of the road I was driving on up in Gorham, Maine, when I heard about what was happening. Our people, our thinking was changed. Close to 3,000 of our people lost their lives on that day. It was a horrible day. Even when the fires burnt out in the great city of New York, and when the smoke finally evaporated, there were some people cleaning things up and rebuilding some new walls, and many people looking at that rock foundation had emotions welling up inside of them, even when the catastrophe had already gone by. Well, there was another day, and we're looking at it in the Bible, when folks were looking over the edge of a foundation. This happened about 520 BC, when another terrorist attack took place. There was a fellow named King Nebuchadnezzar from, do you remember the name of the town that he lived in? King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. What's another name for, what's a modern name for Babylon? Baghdad. What country is it in? Iraq. All right. King Nebuchadnezzar would lead his Babylonian armies against Judah. You know, some things never change. This is in 520 BC we're talking about. They laid siege to Jerusalem for over a year, killing many people and burning the Jewish temple to the ground, taking captive many thousands of Jews and leaving the city of Jerusalem in ruins. Haggai was very likely a child when this happened. He may have seen his parents and his grandparents weeping as the flames ripped down God's temple, because this was the center of life for the Jewish family and community. And if he was witness to what Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians had done, he had to be at least 70 years old when God had him writing this prophecy that we're looking at this morning. He gave four prophecies in about a four-month period of time here. Well, fast forward 70 years, and Israel was allowed to return from Babylon to the homeland under the civil leadership of Zerubbabel. That's what you said, right, Ken? And the spiritual guidance of Joshua, who was the chief, who was the high priest at that time, chapter 3, verse 2. About 50,000 Jewish immigrants had returned, and Haggai was prophesying during this Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is when all the Jews came to town. And so this prophecy was going to go out when most of the people could hear it, or many of the people would hear it. Haggai and a group of former captives are standing at the edge of the old temple foundation in the passage of Scripture we're looking at right now. And the new construction for the temple was already underway. Many people looking at that foundation had emotions welling up in them, and they were a mixture of emotions. It depended on whether you were one of those who had been forced to migrate and settle in Babylon or not, or if you were one of the new folks in town. You looked at that day of history differently, whatever the circumstances. God wants to give his people a message. And in those days, he did it through the prophets, like Haggai. All of this was part of God's plan. Scripture indicated that the Jewish people would be allowed to return to Jerusalem after 70 years of exile. And that prophecy was fulfilled in 537 BC, when the Jews were allowed by King Cyrus of Persia to return to Israel and begin rebuilding the city and the temple. Their return under the direction of Ezra led to a revival among the Jewish people and the rebuilding of the temple. It was an exciting time in many ways. But on the first day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Governor Zerubbabel. This happened on October 17th, 520 to be exact. And it's interesting, I think, to note that this man, Zerubbabel, was an ancestor of Jesus. His father, Shealtiel, shows up in the family tree in Luke 3:27 and in Matthew 1:12. You'll find it there. He was one of King David's relatives. And God was using this guy to help the immigrants in their rebuilding efforts. Immigrant and the immigration problem was a problem back then. Some things never change. I want you to know that God was using this man to help these immigrants in their rebuilding efforts and their efforts to settle back in their town. And God is in all the details of their lives. And I believe that God is in the details of all of our lives too, don't you? I want you to know that God sees and understands his people's emotions and feelings, even the ones that we don't understand. I used to sing a song called Through It All. You know that song? I think Andre Crouch wrote it. And he says in that song, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I've felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that I was His own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. If you think that the Lord is not interested in how you feel about things, you're mistaken this morning. He understands what we're going through, and He wants us to cast all of our cares on Him. He wants to comfort us with His truth, and that's what He's about to do right now in this place. Are you listening deeply? Right in verse 3, God says to Haggai, ask Him. I want you to ask Him a couple of questions. Those Israelite immigrants, what do you think about this rebuilding project we're working on? Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? Here they are, watching the men working on the foundation of their new temple. And the young people are running around all excited about the project. Many are busy helping to do the work. But some of the older folks who remembered the former days, what were they doing? They're not quite so excited. They were looking at this piece of land and remembering what it was like before. Instead of giggles, there were sniffles that were going on. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 3. Got to go back to the left quite a ways before Nehemiah. Ezra chapter 3. I want us to go down to verse 12. Well, actually, let's go to verse 11. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept out loud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. As they looked over into this foundation hole, it wasn't just all, yay, praise the Lord. There were some people there weeping on that day in history. Interesting. During the offering time, I passed around a little picture. I was going to put it up on the screen, but I ran out of time to do that. But I found a picture of men working on the foundation of this building here. And I was thinking about that when folks from the church came and stood on the edge of the foundation, Ron, and you were watching the bulldozers doing what they were doing and pushing the... Maybe someone could pass that around. Could you pass that around? In the back. I got some people here in the front, but kind of in the back there making sure. As long as the battery holds out. When people were standing here looking at that foundation, was it all joy? Or were there some people standing here on those days thinking, I kind of miss that old building. I remember what happened there in youth group. I remember coming to know the Lord there. I remember the times that we used to have together there. You remember those days? Some of those in this room? Some of you remember what was going on back then. And by the way, that was a day in history too. And then 2 days later, our world fell apart. Another day in history happened. Well, because of time, I'm going to run down through this, all right, what I have ahead of here. Because Haggai asked three questions. He was talking to those who remembered the good old days. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? And I want to read for you from the United Bible Society's handbook, which is my favorite commentary when I study in the week. And it says, and I quote, the first question suggests that there were some people old enough to remember the earlier temple. And they talk about Ezra 3 and 12. The second question is addressed to such people. The temple built by Solomon had been destroyed in 586, 66 years earlier. So only people of 70 years old or more would be able to remember it. Jewish tradition has taken the question to indicate that Haggai himself was one of the small group who could remember the earlier temple. This is quite possible, but it can't be proved. It is equally possible that Haggai had simply heard these old people making discouraging comparisons between the earlier temple and the new one, and was trying to prevent the discouragement from spreading. Less than 1 month had passed between the time when work on the new temple was started and the time of the present temple here in chapter 2. So that little progress could have been expected. This house, of course, refers to the temple, and its former glory refers to the beauty or the magnificence of Solomon's temple, the one that had been burned down. Is there anyone among you who can still remember how splendid the temple used to be? Is a good alternative translation model for this question. How do you see it now? As noted above, this second question is addressed directly to those old people who could remember the earlier temple. Haggai already knew the answer to this question, either from his own memory or from what he had heard people saying. The answer in Hebrew takes the form of a third question, this time a negative one. Is it not in your sight as nothing? It must seem like nothing at all. Another way of expressing this is, you probably think that it has no beauty at all as you compare the old days. There are times in our lives when the Lord lets us come right up to the cusp of something that happened in our past, and He allows us to look over the edge at it. He even allows those emotions to well up inside of us. And when He does that, when He allows that to happen to you, I want you to stop where you are, and I want you to listen real careful with spiritual ears, because God wants to comfort His people. Our Lord was a good shepherd. Our Lord still is a good shepherd today, and He cares about His sheep. We are His sheep. All of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior. He proved it on this day. And we need to listen to the words He speaks to His people. The words He spoke back then and the words He's speaking to us this morning through this story. Verse 4. Here's the first thing I want you to remember. Be strong. Be strong. But now be strong, all of you. And God calls out Governor Zerubbabel. He says, Governor, you be strong. And then he says in verse 4, Joshua, Pastor Joshua, you be strong. And then he says to all the people of the land, you be strong in the Lord. Hold on, hold fast, be strengthened, be encouraged. It's not time to give up. It's not time to let go. If you weaken, you won't be able to do the work. And friends, it's time to do the work. It's time to get things in order. I'm thinking that might be our theme for next year, is getting things in order. Be strong. Verse 5, here's another wonderful promise. I am with you. Still, I'm still with you. It might not look like it when you look down in that hole. But I want you to know I'm still with you. This is what I covenanted with you. Remember, it's as I promised you. That can be translated, by the way. I am among you. My presence is here with you, beside you, right beside you. Jesus emphasized this for us when he said, I will never leave you or what? Or forsake you. Never do that. That goes for now, all the way until the end of the age, for his flock, for his people. I am with you. Look at the person next to you and say, he is with you. He's with you. Number 3, my spirit remains on you. Verse 5, still standing is what that means. My spirit is still standing there with you. It's like the star-spangled banner, though the rocket's red glare and the bombs burst in air. Okay. My spirit is still very much established in you. There may have been some time that has gone by. There may have been some difficult events that you have been through. Maybe you're going through them right now. You need to know my spirit remains on you. According to the covenant I made with you, this is a promise. My folks used to talk about Indian givers. You promise one thing and then you take it back. All right. God is not like that. God is not an Indian giver. I promise to be with you. I am with you. My spirit is still with you. You need to know that. Amen? Among you as my people, according to the covenant I made with you. Number 4. Every time I see this, I say, wow, that's powerful. Do not fear, verse 5. Remember when the shepherds were out in the field? And what? 10,000 angels showed up and says, hey, guys. And then they says, don't fear. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. You know what you're subjecting me to right now, the Lord? I don't care what the Lord subjects you to. You're God's people. We don't need to be afraid. He says, do not fear, because I am with you, and my spirit remains on you. You do not need to be afraid about anything. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Let me read this to you. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord for that. You worried about the future? Are you worried about money? He says, the silver is mine. He says, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. I've got you. I am your security. You're my child. I've got it all together. I'm holding it together for you. That should be an encouragement to you this morning, you who are God's people. And you got to love this next promise. Verses 6 to 9 in Haggai, chapter 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. What I have lined up for you in the future is so much better than what you ever had in the past. I want to say something to you right now. I think it's time for some of us to get some new testimonies. We like to live in the past. We like to remember those times when God touched us. And I think we need to do that. But I think the Lord might be saying to us here, yesterday is going to be blasé comparatively with what I have for you in the future. Wait till you see what's coming. I'm going to fill this house with glory. And he did. The temple that was built was even more magnificent than Solomon's was. Verse 9. And the one after Zerubbabel's, built by Herod, would be even more magnificent. And I want to encourage you, be looking for better things than even that. Don't get stuck in the past or even the present. What does God have for us in the future? It's going to have even more glory. This is a nice place. This is a nice building. What's God going to have for us in his kingdom? Wow. You know what? There's not going to even be a temple there. He's going to be there. Just imagine. Just imagine what's ahead for you. Yeah. Yeah, we can't picture it. Peace is coming to this place. He's talking about Jerusalem here. Iraq is still intent on destroying the city of Jerusalem. Last Tuesday, a teenager was murdered by a Palestinian.